5. We just gotta see, we just gotta see what episode we're at. I think it matters,
but
33.
Wow.
3? Is it, I guess that's right,
Because that was the Miami alien encounter.
It's just the way we, like, listed it, or the way I listed it, because I think I have, like, a car cast, car talk episode. And so 33. But you wanted to start at this, right? You wanted to start right here?
Well, this is just for... Oh, wait. Does this go back? Okay, yeah. We'll start in the bottom and work our way up. Just January 5th, 15, 16,
So we're starting from the bottom?
Yeah.
January 15th?
But I think these are all about...
Seven. Should I hook it up to where we have it... Like, you're controlling that, but then I'm also looking at a different screen so we're not close to the mics? Like, can we do that?
Hold on.
Could you bring that table over here?
Yeah, I was just trying to see what the plane is called. So it's 777, Boeing 777, and 737 MAX. I'm just trying to get the names right before we can...
Okay.
Oh, shit, sorry.
No, you're good. Is that my phone?
It's fine. It was.
Okay, so whatever you do, I want to be able to see, and then so I'm not too close to you. So you can go over there, I guess, for, like, probably right there, and I'll move my bike. Sorry.
Yeah, move that dumb bike out. This isn't Walmart. All right.
Go from there. Before we start reading, we'll just, you know, introduce ourselves, I guess, like the usual, you know, podcast boys. You know, episode 33.
This is a Call Your Cast episode 33. Yeah, lucky 33.
Lucky 33. Although, I think on the podcast timeline, it does say already 33. Because I don't know. But yeah, episode 33.
Okay, so yeah.
It'd be 34, technically, but episode 33.
So today we're going to talk about
pretty much
all these airplanes.
You sound so enthused, Brian.
Well, I didn't know if it was just American Airlines. It's more than just American Airlines, right?
Yeah. It's any company in the airline industry that is using Boeing's 737 MAX. And there's quite a few of them. It's not just the 737 MAX, but that's kind of what started it all. But it's the Boeing 777, which was what kind of sparked the whole thing, right? About
let's see. So we're on the article here. This one is just going to give us a brief timeline.
It was what the Alaskan Airlines door hinges came off.
And yeah, January 5th. It says a door plug on Alaska Airlines Boeing blew out. It says no injuries, no fatalities. They just had to make an emergency landing.
Wait, hold up. Before we continue reading, do you remember seeing that one video where it was like the whole... No, okay, my bad. It was a passenger that pulled the emergency door while it was being closed. Huh. Yeah, so that's a different thing. Okay,
let me get back on track. So on January 15th, 68 people were killed. Passenger plane crashed near a town in Nepal, which is another country. It's I think that's actually the home to Mount Everest.
So I guess they have a history.
The country's worst airplane disaster in 3 decades. Let's pull up. It didn't say what kind of airplane that was. Let's see if we can find that real quick. Let's see if we can quickly see. So 68 people died. This happened in the country of Nepal. And let's see what kind of plane it was, if it says. websites these days have all these ads that pop up. Alright.
Alright, call me dumb, but where is Nepal?
Nepal is in, it's kind of like in Asia. Oh, I can't remember
it off. Indonesia?
No, not Indonesia. Further north. It's where the Himalaya Mountains are. Mount Everest.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it wasn't specifically a Boeing. It was just ATR-72 aircraft.
Can you search it up? What is the ATR? I never heard of that. We're going to a little side dive.
ATR 72
aircraft. Yeah, bring that up. What is that? It's turboprop.
Sure. Instead of the 15-year-old plane, damn, it's a pretty big plane.
I mean, that looks interesting. I've never. But it's got propellers.
Yeah, it's got propellers. Okay. That's always a concern, right? Alright. So that happened on January 15th. Going back here. The next day on January 16th, FAA opened up an investigation into a near miss at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York. They ordered a Delta Airlines flight set for takeoff to stop in its tracks, noticing an American Airlines flight cross in front of the departing plane.
Whoa.
So it almost crashed on the runway, I guess.
That's another thing I wanted to also bring up while we're on this podcast episode, is I've overheard on the radio, there's been also like a lot of like near misses with the FAA and like the airplane pilot control tower, where like then they've been having like issues with like, I don't know if it's with coordinating, you know, how much traffic there are. I guess there's I don't know if it's their overabundance of how much air travel there is, or if it's, you know.
Yeah, right. Who knows?
Yeah.
So February 6th here, there was the pilot of a United flight. He attempted to land, but his rudder pedal was stuck in neutral. The plane was able to safely land, though. It was just a safety issue, I guess. February 20th, the crew of a United flight reported a blown tire after the plane's departure from Colorado Springs. Safe landing again. So it's, a lot of this is just like, I don't know, little stuff going wrong. But, you know, it's a plane. You don't want anything going wrong in a plane, right? February 28th. Delta Airlines flight landed in Syracuse after the plane suffered a reported engine issue on the way to Spain. Wow.
All right, but to keep that in mind, like before, wow. We also went to a side rabbit hole.
After the plane,
these are all Boeing, right?
No, because the ATR one was not Boeing. These are all
no, different. But that was a side rabbit hole. But was this still part of the same article?
Yeah, this is all part. These are just different airline disasters that they've reported on. February 29th, another. They don't tell you the exact plane, but American Airlines flight landed in New York. Smoke in the cabin. March 1st, smoke in the cabin again, and a Breeze Airways flight. Apparently, the smoke came from a lithium battery fire in a laptop. the tail of a JetBlue plane on March 2nd. The tail of a JetBlue plane departing from New York scraped the runway.
So that's also interesting, I guess, to note, because these are not all to Boeing, but like, because we are going to talk into Boeing issues, but that there's been a lot of flight issues.
Yeah, in general, yeah. March 4th.
Wasn't the saying always like, oh, you're better off flying than driving, because like the odds of ever being in an accident and flying are far less than
yeah
driving.
Right,
but it's like,
but like look at all this, this is all this year alone. So a flight from Pensacola to Chicago, there was a gear issue on the plane. They were able to land safely. Flight from Houston to Fort Myers, we'll talk about this one later on, was forced to make an emergency landing after one of the engines started to shoot flames. And there was a video for that one.
And when was that? That was coming from Houston, Texas to
Fort Myers, March 4th. Yeah.
Okay.
March 6th, crew on Alaska Airlines flight noticed a burning smell in the back of the plane, and they returned to Portland, Oregon. That was
all. What was the way? What was burning, though?
Now they're investigating, so I guess. How many more?
Wait, hold on. You're passing.
Yeah,
so
I'm
much.
Just saying how much we have left. So there's not too much left.
Let me read a few. All
right, so you could finish it off. We're here on March 7th.
What? Why does it say A?
A Trans-Pacific United. Yeah, okay. I know. It's kind of weird because they didn't space it out. Yeah,
they have it set up. But, okay, so March 7th, a Trans-Pacific United flight bound to Osaka, Japan.
Osaka.
Oh, sorry, misread that. Osaka, Japan. Was diverted to Los Angeles after a tire fell off from the plane. It was taking off from San Francisco International Airport. I guess it damaged a few parked vehicles in the parking lot.
That must be scary.
Next, isn't it weird though? Like it's like day after day, dude. Like
yeah, cause okay. Look, even the next day.
Wait, hold on. Let me read the run. Let me read up. So okay, next day, March 8th.
A United, same place.
United Airlines flight from San Francisco, like Brian mentioned, the same place, heading to Mexico City, was forced to make an emergency landing in Los Angeles due to a hydraulic issue. And then, again, the same day, on March 8th, airport officials confirmed a United flight slid off the runway and completely onto the grass beside it while en route to its terminal gate at Houston George Bush International Airport. The FAA told Forbes it's an ongoing investigation, I guess. March 9th, a United Airlines flight that took off from... I overheard that United Airlines has the most Boeing, airliners. So I'm guessing this might be, like, we're getting into the Boeing incidents. Okay. But March 9th, a United Airlines flight that took off from Chicago O'Hare International Airport was forced to return after the plane's crew detected a possible oil warning light issue, according to the FAA. And then...
Oh, wait, sorry.
No, you're good. And then, what are we on? March 11th?
Yep.
A Trans-Pacific United Airlines flight headed from Sydney, Australia, to San Francisco returned to Sydney due to maintenance issues, the airline told multiple outlets. All right, you can... continue on with the next incident.
There's two more here listed. March 11th, 50 people were injured in New Zealand when their airline's flight suddenly dropped mid-flight.
Wait.
Though the plane was able to land, it's scheduled in Auckland.
I'd say so far that's the most scariest one.
10 passengers and 3 members of the crew were taken to a local hospital. March.
What does that even mean? Drop? Like you lost a few altitude, like 1,000 feet.
1,000 feet, quick, you know.
Oh my gosh.
March 13th, Boeing 777 blew a tire while taking off from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas on Wednesday night. And they're just investigating as usual. They have a lot of investigations on their plate. So we're gonna talk about a couple local ones. They didn't talk about this one. But February 9th, here in Naples, Florida, a plane crash, I think it was a private plane, crashed on I-75, killing both pilots, and there was only one surviving crew member, and the passengers, who were both of Columbus, Ohio. They landed on I-75, so they landed on the highway.
Oh, is this the incident about the plane that tried to land on the highway on I-75 and the pilots both died? But
we're gonna look this one up. It was a bomb raider.
So this was a private jet, though. So this is not like a commercial airliner. This is their own private jet. And it'd be interesting to find out, because it does list the people's names.
Challenger 600.
In the article that we found out, which we'll include in the sources. But to find out, like, what was their, like, occupation to, like... And, like, also to further, like, dive into, like, maybe, like... It'd be interesting to talk to about what went on before the incident.
Definitely a private plane here.
Look how small that is. So yeah, apparently both engines went out and they were forced to
make... What was that speculation you said? It had to be like they ran out of fuel because both engines went out?
Yeah. I don't know.
Where did you hear that? Because I know you told me that
before. That's what... At the gym I work with, there's a guy who's a pilot, and he said that usually, yeah, when both engines go out, it's usually a fuel issue, which means, like, they could have not had enough gas, because I think they had gone somewhere in the plane beforehand. And again, this is a smaller plane. We're looking at pictures of it now, which we could include
Bombardier also. Challenger 600 series?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, it looks like a high-tech plane. So, I mean, it's for it to...
Yeah, and we're going to mention that they did release a quick little call between the pilot and the air traffic controller, but it's very...
Well, given what we know about AI and manipulation
with voice... Yeah, it sounds very... He's just so calm for him to be... about to crash a plane onto a major highway.
Well, it also seems manipulating the fact that it was chopped up and clipped up to where, like, it just repeats the same thing from what I originally said in the beginning about they need to emergency land, and it just repeats that again. So that's very fishy to me, where they kept that clip just to repeat itself.
Yep, the survivors, again, were the passengers from Ohio, and then the one crew member who survives from Florida. Both pilots died.
And I mean, that's also, for us local people here, that's also interesting to note that it happened off exit 107 near Pine Ridge Road. So, I mean, this is like, this is right up Raleigh. I mean, this is not too far.
Yep, damaged a few vehicles, but anybody in vehicles was uninjured, it said.
That's amazing. I have to say, that's pretty amazing that there's damaged vehicles, but nobody was, I mean, beside the pilots, you know.
So then, later on, February 24th at Cape Coral, this one also wasn't on that list that was mentioned earlier. There was an emergency landing on a residential road in Cape Coral. I'm skipping through the notes here. Let's see if we can find what the actual cause was. It says, while the plane was damaged, the pilot was not damaged. So the pilot was fine.
Whoever wrote that article, oh my gosh. I mean, it has to be, like, a new aged writer where, like, the only, like, word for injured or hurt or, you know, got it, you survived with his life. That's not a product or, you know, component of a technology. Wasn't damaged.
According to the pilot, departure from Pine Shadows Air Park in Fort Myers took place 5 minutes before the aircraft started malfunctioning. The plane experienced a total loss of engine power at 1,500 feet mean sea level.
That means nothing to us, but to the people who know this stuff, I'm sure that means everything.
He tried changing the power settings and used a fuel boost pump, but did not help the engine's power output. Let's see. Power lines were hit in the process and landed in a grassy area on a divided highway. Ended up fully stopping in the road. Vaugirnats Parkway, if you live out in Cape Coral.
Wait, get this, dude. It said the plane had 70 gallons of fuel during takeoff and had not been flown or refueled since December 2023. But then it said, however, the night before the accident, no fuel was even found in the tank. There was no contamination of fuel whatsoever. Isn't that suspicious?
Yeah, right. The emergency responders to the scene noticed a small fuel leak. The plane was sprayed with extinguishing foam to prevent
inadvertent fire. So somebody obviously tampered with the device.
That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So.
Whoa. Where's this ad coming from?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to close that.
Oh no, it's the one with the audio above that one. Yeah. It's
oh
that
my
one.
God! I closed it for no reason.
Just close that one.
Yeah,
Don't you just love it when it randomly starts?
Right, we weren't even on that page. Nice. Oh, I didn't want to do that. I opened up a new one. All right. So that was in Cape Coral, and then pretty much the only thing that the one that really started this kickoff was on January 5th. Was when that door plug we already talked about.
Wait, before we start talking about this, I honestly believe what really started off was, if my memory is correctly, I remember it was a 737 Boeing MAX plane, and it happened on foreign land. So it happened in, like, I don't know, like Turkey or one of those lands that's not on American soil. And if I remember correctly, they were able to find, like, the transcript or whatever to the air flight, and they determined that it was the, like, I might be wording this wrong, but, like, the AI or the algorithm for the Boeing 737 MAX, because I guess what happens is, I guess in one moment of flight, the computer program takes over, and if there's ever an incident, it's supposed to, like, help them fly in the situation, but in this situation, it jolted the plane face down into the ground, and they crashed.
Jeez.
And it wasn't just one incident. There was also another incident with a 737 MAX.
And then I wonder, again, how what if also, like, pilots, you know? There was a story of the pilot in Europe where he, like, intentionally crashed the plane into a mountain, killing everybody on board. This was, like, a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
But anyways, back to Boeing. So we're going to talk about a couple of the whistleblowers now. The first guy we're going to talk about is this John Barnett. So I think, let's see, he was based in South Carolina. He worked at the plant in South Carolina as a quality manager in 2010. Let's see, he raised many issues. Some of the issues he raised included finding clusters of metal shavings left near electrical systems for flight controls, which could lead to catastrophic results. And he's discovered serious problems with oxygen systems in the 787 Dreamliner. The issue with the oxygen systems could mean that 25% of breathing masks won't work in an emergency. So he, let's see. He was there from 2010, I believe, until, I think, 2018 or 2019. And then he started coming out. Several other people came out. Oh, no, he retired in 2017. Well, the only reason
why, obviously, he retired was he's a whistleblower going against Boeing. You know, and Boeing, you know, his employer, obviously, doesn't want that, you know.
He worked for Boeing for over 30 years before he was a quality manager.
So, obviously, it sounds like Boeing's overpriced over, like,
and life. So, this guy was actually found dead. Was a self-inflicted gunshot wound
in South Carolina. Keep in mind, Carolina. Guys, it wasn't John Barnett. John Barnett's still alive. He's got a website going.
No. You're wrong. John Barnett's the one who was found dead.
Oh, well, really?
Yeah.
I thought we were talking about the other guy.
No, we're talking about John Barnett. The other guy, we're going to talk about him right now. This is John Barnett. He was in South Carolina. He worked at a South Carolina plant, quality manager. He was coming out. Several whistleblowers raising concerns over the quality and safety of the plant in South Carolina. This is in 2019. And so, yeah, he was found dead, I think, this year. Let me see exactly if it's over here. Do we still have it? Yeah, it was actually really recent.
Well, most news articles are posting it within 12 hours.
Yeah, a day, so it was in within the last week.
3 days.
So this was 4 days ago.
I guess one of his former friends spoke out saying, like, if he was found to be quote unquote suicide, that he didn't do it.
Yep, he says he predicts his own death. If anything happens to me, it's not suicide. I'm pretty sure they always say that, right?
Who's the other. Was it Isaac Cappy that said the same thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, almost everybody says the same. Even, again...
Am I saying that? Am I thinking of the right name?
I mean, depending who you're talking about, yeah. Isaac Cappy was the one who was, he would post a lot on YouTube back when YouTube was a little more open, and he would post about like Seth Green and
but like the most recent incident that I remember is basically whoever leaked this, he was on the edge of a bridge.
Yeah, well, this was like, and then, this is a while ago. This is like 2017 when that happened.
Wow. And then this next is already post a while they ago. Posted, he was basically flattened by a car and ran over.
Well, he was thrown off the bridge and then, yeah, ran over.
Yeah.
So, back to John Barnett here. Let's see. Okay, well, see, this article says he served as a quality manager for North Carolina. So, I mean, I don't know who's gonna... I don't know what you want to believe, but yeah, it says March 9th, he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
What do you mean? So, what did the other one say he worked for?
We'll get into that right now. Let's see. Jennifer also stated Burnett loved life so much. He loved his family. Someone didn't like what he had to say and wanted to shut him up. So, that was about John Barnett. The next guy we're going to talk about, he's another whistleblower. He's actually still alive.
And
he's
Ed Pearson, right?
Ed Pearson. He worked at Boeing between 2008 and 2018. And during his time, he worked at the Boeing 737 factory in Washington, Renton, Washington. And he witnessed overworked employees, part shortages, quality issues, which he said made the planes produced by the factory very unsafe. He recommended that the company's leadership should shut down the whole production, but they ignored his requests. He, it goes up instead of down. Isn't that funny? He testified to Congress in 2019 about production in the factory after two MAX 8 crashes in 2018 and March 2019 killed nearly 350 people, which was all the passengers and crew on board. And
this is the guy that's still alive, and yeah, he has a website.
He has a website, and he's still doing work to like expose Boeing, I guess. So we'll see if he's able to make it out alive. But
which is scary. I mean, I'd be scared if I were him. I mean, knowing that even the other Boeing worked for Boeing was another whistleblower that,
you know. Yeah, I mean, again, yeah. Once they start coming after you. You know, you just got to take your retirement and disappear.
But it's crazy, too, because it's like, you worked for this company, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, they paid you, and I don't know, is it, you know, who's, is it the company coming after them? Is it their hired hitmen? You know, like, it's crazy.
Well, it's just like, I guess because it's like, I don't know, it's one of the few things that are still made in America, right? The planes, so they're making planes in America, at least they're making planes in America, right? But at what cost?
Is that the only good thing?
Because like, I mean,
it's American made.
American made.
American tough. American but strong.
Again, they're using American methods, which is like overworking their employees and, you know, typical capitalist stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, cutting corners. It's cutting corners. You know.
I guess that's a good takeaway, because what you mentioned is, it's not being made in China.
Right. But again, they're using America mentality, which is to cut corners to get something done, you know? Make as much as you can, as fast as you can.
So, but it just sounds like, because the podcast I was listening to, they made it sound like it was recently thing that, like, they're trying to bar us from flying. But this just saying, it seems like it's just corporate just being greedy.
Yeah, it's just a lack of money over. And it's not just Boeing. Lives. It seems like it's just almost every plane. It's just like, again, you go to McDonald's, you know, and there's an employee who's probably been open to close.
Well, even then, think about how McDonald's used to have a dollar menu.
Yeah.
And now everything is not even, you can't even find anything for a dollar at the, there's not even a dollar menu anymore, is my point.
Well, again, that's just like everything with Boeing too. It's like, that's why everything, plane prices go up, you know.
But then what the company would go saying, well, it's not us. It's, we have to battle inflation with the price of economics, where cost of goods go up, you know?
Yep, and then yeah, labor goes up because, you know, the hourly rate's got to go. It's not minimum wage than what it used to be, you know?
So they're going to have to cut corners somewhere, right?
Yep, and that's always how it is. The wild world of finances and big business, you know?
I this is off topic, but one of the articles...
But that's also the problem with kind of like a monopoly, you know? There should probably be more...
Well, I think that's the same issue with the cell phone companies.
More, you know, companies making airplanes and airplane parts, and, you know, we probably should start, since that seems to be, you know, a big issue, more people investing in that.
An article that I read about, it was about food, but they said it was, like, just so happens to be one of those produces and goods that you can, like, I guess manipulate in a sense of, like, you can add things, take away things, and like, oh yeah, we used to use it. It's not really corn syrup, or it's not really fully honey. It's corn syrup substitute, or like filler.
Even corn itself has like been so modified through time that like any corn you get, even like the freshest corn from like the grocery store, is like it's modified.
Well, my main point was that they cut corners.
Yeah. To cut corners, you modify. It's just like meat now, let's grow it in a lab. You know, we don't have to do all this killing of animals. We can just grow it in a lab.
Or get everybody... Or even doing all the raising of the cattle and all that too.
Or, you know, just get everybody on this new plant-based meat. Impossible meat. Woo. So it's just like... It's all about making stuff easy, right?
Are you following up what's going on in Port-au-Prince in Haiti?
No.
Oh... This is not, try not to go too deep dive into this, but I guess they're having, I don't know if you would call them gangs or rebels. I guess they're taking over the city.
The gangs and rebels are taking over the city in Port-au-Prince?
Yep.
Dang. Well, we'll see if America steps in, helps them out.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, we've already stepped in with Ukraine. We're giving them so much money. We're continuing to fund them. It's just like, I don't understand, like, how you cannot say we're not part of this war if we're giving them money to continue the war. You know?
Yeah.
But
who knows?
All of this side chatter. Anything else you want to say, Brian? Before we
no, I think sign we've off? Pretty much covered all of the. Boeing and airplane stuff. Well,
all the Boeing shenanigans, all the cutting corners for profits, all the chaos. I mean, it's not just like technical and mechanical problems on the plane, but I mean, there was this whole hysteria of people who are flying that are like going crazy, you know, like. Causing a whole bunch of commotion.
Yeah, causing scenes and stuff. We're seeing more of that. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's also like, there's more cameras too, so it's just more people catching it.
Yeah.
So it's like, who knows? But, yeah, I guess we'll sign off for now.
Yeah, I think it was a good episode. I mean, not too long, not too short. But I guess, till next time.
Till next time.